Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 11th, 2018. Well, saints, the world is in great turmoil. Most just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now, please, before it's too late. And please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, and all this other contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Rome, Italy, Istanbul, Turkey, Taiwan, Auckland, New Zealand, and in Poland. I just can't pronounce the name of the city, but you folks over there in Poland, I'm so glad to have you as an audience. Anyway, and of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Kansas City, Missouri, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, New York, New York, Omaha, Nebraska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. Now, Houston outdid Wichita the last couple weeks, and always a close second is Washington, D.C. I guess all those lawmakers over there got to check in and see what we think about things before they do them. What do you think? Anyway, just a second. Excuse me, folks. I am recovering from the flu, a terrible cold, so bear with me. The world, as the world brought in a new year, we have ever not been on live radio this year. Wow. A couple of different reasons. One, the studio heat gave up the ghost first, and it was way too cold to get in here and do anything. And we got that fixed by kind donations, and then I got the flu, as you can tell from my voice, which I'm still recovering from. So pray about it. In other words, lift me up in prayer. Speaking of prayers, now it's time for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine and not ours. They give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Cryptocurrency. Some people haven't ever heard of the word. But it's a very big world, and some people really, I've heard, have already gotten rich from it. I've really not paid much attention to it, but I can see now that some form of this, I think, is really what the world is headed for. So tonight, we're going to get some facts. We'll find out this from somebody that is very educated. So we bring back on with us Tom Mack. He's a school principal and owner at White Cottage Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, net certified network technician, as well as a book designer, a web designer, and webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator and a manager and controller. We could also mention that at one time he was also a tax specialist. So again, back to the numbers thing. Thomas did research with Bible code since 1996, and that is 20 years plus of code research. This kind of background is what we needed for our talk tonight. So let's welcome now Tom Mack. Are you there with me, Tom? And I'm glad to have you back.
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Well, Tom, go ahead.
This is one of those things where when we talked about it, I came on and I had one idea of what I was going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes the Lord changes things a little bit. And today's one of those days. You know, cryptocurrencies have been an interesting thing. When I was at the University of South Dakota as a graduate student back in 1988, one of my professors actually talked about a day when currencies would be all beyond the computer and that we would not even trade with paper. And, of course, everybody sort of looked at him at the time and said, oh, this is crazy. That can never happen. Of course, back in 1988, we did not have the Internet. We barely had computers, and very few people really even knew how to use them. And, you know, the Internet was something that, you know, the military used, the Pentagon used, and it was starting to spread to all their contractors so that they could share information. But nobody ever really conceived of it ever leaving that context. But by the time the middle 90s came around, almost anybody who wanted to could get on the Internet. But there was still a lot of security issues, a lot of problems. People were getting emails that had little packages in them that would infect their computers and take all their money and do whatever else it wanted to do. And so it would take quite a bit of time for the Internet to, how would you call it, mature.
Right.
And surprisingly, you know, reason we have YouTube technology is because the people who did the real grunt work on video technology and getting it on the Internet were the porn sites.
Yeah, I heard that way back. Yeah, I understood that porn is really what fueled the Internet into being able to become what it is. Is that what you're saying? Is that correct?
Yes, it very much is. And it was one of those things that, and sad to say, a lot of good people have gotten hooked because of it. And now there's ministries cropped up out there to help people deal with these things because it's a problem. But to go on to what we're doing, about 2003, a group of people out of Japan started proposing a cryptocurrency. And let's turn over here. I'm going to get you the group's name because it's one of those Japanese things that. And yeah, it's a Japanese guy who finally came up with Satoshi Nakamoto. Is sort of the, how would you call it, a pseudonym for the group.
Right.
And they produced a paper talking about a decentralized currency transaction program that would allow people to make currency transactions without, one, having a third party in the middle that knew all about the other two parties. And what they came up with is called blockchain technology. I'm getting real, real basic here. I'm not going to get too extensive on it. You can go to Wikipedia or 100 other places and read about it in more detail. But what happened?
I'm enjoying you telling me because, you know, I really, I don't know, for whatever reason, I've just kind of ignored it, you know. I guess because I read some things that said, oh, it's nothing, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now it's really turning into something. So please go on. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, that's okay. And so what happened, about 2009, this group released its source code onto a website called SourceForge, which is where a lot of people release their open source technology so that everybody can use it. There's quite a move to make all programs open source so that everybody can use them and make the world better. And while it's a rather nice sentiment, sometimes I think it's a little naive, because we still have places like Microsoft, which sell us Windows and Office, and we have Adobe and literally thousands of other companies that sell us software to do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But alongside the commercial companies, we have open source. And sometimes these open source people can come up with some really, really good software. And this proved to be the case with what is now know it as Bitcoin. And on, what was it, January 2nd, 2009, this group mined, and that's what they call it, they mined what was called the Genesis block of Bitcoin on 2009. And a few days later, they sent it to a friend of theirs. That became the first blockchain transaction. Since it was only worth maybe a nickel a coin in those days, it took several to order a pizza from Papa John's.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, we've seen this expand to well over 1,000 cryptocurrencies. If you want to go to worldcoinmarket.com, you can see a list of them, and you're just floored. How can all these currencies survive in one market? And honestly, if the laws of economics prove true in this case, and I believe they will, we will see that break down to, say, 20 or 30 crypto coins, say, in about another 10 to 15 years. Because the ones that become most efficient and work in the smoothest manner are the ones that are going to survive.
Right.
The other ones will either be merged out of existence or they will go out of business. And when they do, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of little small questions or thoughts.
Sure.
One is, you know, it's the same way with fractional banking. You know, it amazes me how really people don't get it. There's nothing really backing it. I mean, it's all on paper, so to speak. But with cryptocurrency, it's just I don't get it. It's just electronic thing. Who said? I mean, you know, how is the value set? You understand what I'm trying to get at? I'm not snapping to it, I guess. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, what people do to create bitcoins is they mine them using computer power. Basically, if I wanted to set up here and put about, say, 12 computers working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I could mine bitcoins. And when I do, then suddenly I've created money. But it's like how you earn money in the real world. You have to work for it. You have to go to your job, and after after a week, your boss gives you a paycheck.
Right.
Well, what these people have done is they've taken computing power and used it to create bitcoins or any other kind of cryptocurrency. And my feeling is that it's sort of, they are, yes, generating a work product from what their computers do. But I would caution you, to get 12 of those computers to do that, you're probably talking $18,000 to $20,000 to get the job done. But if you look at it from an economic point of view, you spend $20,000 to get these computers going. If you mine even 2 bitcoins, you've already got your money back in a year.
Right.
So what happens is we've now got people all over the world mining bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies, creating value with their computer systems. And you can literally set up your own computer system so it can mine coins, say when you're away from your computer and you're not doing anything else. You can literally be mining coins. But if you don't have a lot of them, then you're not going to mine very many. And so what people have done is they've started pooling their resources, and they figure if 20 people can get together and share their computers, they can mine one of these coins and then split it among the users. So there's a number of ways to do this, and I've been seeing quite a number of ways for these people to succeed at what they're doing. And it's done very well. Now, what I've done when I've researched this is I've started looking at some of the various cryptocurrencies out there. And as I say, Bitcoin is the most well-known. Another one that's almost as well-known is Ethereum. It's worth $1,218.15 at the moment. It's probably changed a little bit since then. And it goes up and down. But let me warn people who are thinking about investing in this. This is a very fast market. And like any other currency, it trades 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There is no open, there is no close like the regular stock market.
Right.
They trade all the time. You can literally, if you have, say, 1 Bitcoin, you can go to bed at night and that Bitcoin will be worth $15,000. When you wake up in the morning, it may be only worth $13,500. That's happened the last 2 nights. And you'll go to work wondering what you're going to do to make up the $1,500. And then you come home from work, and sure enough, it's already back up to $15,000 again. This is a roller coaster ride, a financial roller coaster ride that not a lot of people can handle. Now, if you want safe, buy yourself some Johnson & Johnson stock. It's going to stay the same price, and the dividend is going to stay the same price, and you're going to get about a 4 or 5% return on your money. Sometimes, for some people, that's what they want. They just want a decent return on their money so that they can continue to live.
Right, and something that, you know, is stable to them over a period of years, you know. But
right.
So Bitcoin or, you know, cryptocurrency, whichever. So my thought is it's becoming increasingly popular. to use things. Why would I? How would I spend a bit? I couldn't spend it anywhere, but I mean, how could I spend it? I don't, you know. I mean, I could get maybe online. I understand that, but I couldn't spend it in a store per se, could I?
Well, that's changing in the last probably 2 weeks. Several Bitcoin ATM machines started showing up in bodegas in New York City and other places on the East Coast. So if you get a little, get the munchies late at night, you can go over to your bodega and load up and get the money out of a Bitcoin machine.
Really? That, so it would give you cash for
right.
For your Bitcoin. Okay.
Right.
This is really pretty fascinating. This is the first time I've had it explained to me in any way, shape, or form. We've got about a little over a minute before break. So why don't I know we've been on a lot of times, and you do Bible code research and so on. But please tell them where your websites are at and what they can find there. You've got about a minute, and then we'll go to break.
Okay. The website we're going to talk about tonight is BibleCodes.co, C-O for Colorado, which is where I'm from. And I will have the Bible code we're going to talk about in the next half hour on there. And you will be able to review it, and you'll be able to read all my analysis.
Well, that's really cool. So, you know, maybe this Bible code tells... I'd like to know what direction you think this is going and everything, and this is a really interesting subject for a lot of people. And again, folks, I'm going to tell you this. You know, we're telling you this for educational purposes. By far, I'm not advising you to run out and buy any or not, but for education, and I am being educated, thanks for being on with us, Tom. We'll come back and talk some more in 3 minutes.
Sounds good.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, folks, yeah, we haven't – this is the first time we've talked to you, and really, this would have been the third week, so it's 3 weeks ago, and then you know what? Feels like forever. As I said at the first of this program, the heat in the office broke down, so I was unable to access what I needed to do radio. But we are working on a backup solution but we do need your help for that and to get everything fixed right. So pray about supporting radio, because without radio, radio is what gets us support for the Mission Church and everything else. And, yeah, we should have had a backup system, but we just didn't have a backup system because, you know, where all the money goes. So pray about it anyway. But because this was off, it did hurt the Mission Church. So pray about supporting the Mission Church. Support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us. Men, women, people, children from all walks of life come in looking for help. Some have just had a bad break. I believe that with the economy, with Trump's economy, I think things are going to get better. But until it is, you know, we're needed. And so many people come to help for us, come to get help from us. Anyway, we get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us that we're now in this is our 18th year that make this Mission Church work. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, is among the sinners, as Yeshua was? I get it that not all people can do this, but we were called to do this. So we do need your help now. So pray about it. We really, really do need your help. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love. That's the first answer. They're treated as family. Beyond that, we have no guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we have a way to fill it, we give it to them. If we don't, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. And really, folks, we are the last hope for so very many. We are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. This ministry sells nothing. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as we are trying to keep you informed, and it's not free, and it is, again, your donations that keep us on the air. So you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking about cryptocurrency, and we're talking with a very educated person on this and Bible codes, Tom Mack. Are you still with me, Tom?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, just take us back in where you're at, and you mentioned a code on this. I'm really curious. So I'll just let you take us back into it.
Oh, first, I want to preface one thing before I say anything more. First off, I am not a registered investment advisor, and so I'm not registered with the SEC. So if anybody thinks I'm giving financial advice, you have to understand. I do not do this as a living. I don't write newsletters. And even though I do a lot of research into these things, I would suggest that before you make any kind of investment decision, that you need to talk to a specialist, a certified public accountant, a certified financial planner, or a registered investment advisor. And you need to have them go over your finances and help you to come up with a plan, because that's what's important. Also, if things get a little complex with your finances, you may need the help of an attorney. A good, competent attorney can save you a lot of problems and keep you from them. And that's really what you need that man or woman to do for you, is to advise you, to guide you away from certain pitfalls, because there's a lot of them. And that being said, you know, we've started following these bitcoins, and ever since graduate school, I've had a program that I've used to follow the stock market. I had to modify it to follow cryptocurrencies because they trade so fast. What takes weeks and even months to happen in the stock market happens in days. And so suddenly I had to come up with an 8-day moving average just to cover the what are called turns, where the market decides it's gone up enough and now it's going to go down. And in fact, what makes a good investor, a great investor, is when he can predict when a market is suddenly going to stop going up and go down. There's an old adage in Wall Street, which I learned when I was a young man, and I'll share it with you. The bulls make money, those who invest on the market going up. The bears make money. They invest counting on the fact that the market will go down. The bulls make money. The bears make money. But the hogs get slaughtered. And I've seen that happen so many times when people think, well, I can buy low, sell high, and then when I predict that, then I can short it on the way back down. And when I mean short, that means you're betting that the market will go down. People mm-hmm. do this two ways. They can do it with options, or they can do it by selling short, which I think is a very, very dangerous way to do it. Because when you sell short, you have to put up a certain amount of money. I think it's something like 10 or 15% of the money. And then the broker lends you a stock. And what you're hoping is the stock will go down in a short period of time, and then you can buy it back and return what you borrowed at a cheaper price. But if that stock doesn't go down, you're in a lot of trouble. And you have to remember, if you're a big financial institution, you can do these kinds of things. They trade literally millions of stocks every day. We don't do that. We don't trade these things like that. We have to look more long-term. We have to look for a plan. And we have to stay away from the pitfalls that come from it. And when I come to pitfalls, I started realizing just last night when I listened to a program on YouTube where somebody actually came on. He was a cryptocurrency investor who also did Bible codes. And he started looking at the codes on cryptocurrencies, and he found out that maybe it's not all good. And so he realized, I've made a mistake, I've sinned, I've been greedy. And he's Torah observant like we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I started hearing this man make his confession on international TV, and I decided maybe it's time for Tom to take a look at this.
Right.
And when I looked at it, the first two key words I got were blockchain and Orion. Now, everybody knows Orion is a constellation in the sky that represents Nimrod. And if you study in Genesis, you realize Nimrod was the son of Cush, who was the son of Shem, son of Noah. So we get that chain. Nimrod was known as the Horned Hunter. And you can read about him in the book of Genesis. And so I started saying, oh yes, and the most key information, and it's also in the code, he founded Babylon. And what was he great for? The Tower of Babel. And what did the Lord do to the Tower of Babel? He struck it down. He confused the languages. I started looking at that, saying, whoops, something is not right here. So I started looking for more words. And one of the first ones that came up was a demon god named Ishima. If you look at his name in history, he is Pan. He's a trickster. And I started saying to myself, oh, no. This guy loves to trick people. And the first thing I thought as I got this, I said, oh, no, Pastor Dan's going to have even more business.
Hmm.
And we're always praying for Pastor Dan to have less business. Because everybody's
yeah.
doing well.
Amen.
In fact, I would pray that maybe the day would come when you didn't have to do this because people were doing so well that you didn't have any business.
Well, amen. Let me butt in just a split second. On that, you know, I've been asked even by the news media, they said, well, Pastor Dan, when are you going to quit doing what you're doing? You've been doing it a very long time. like I say, 18 years, I'll quit when they quit coming in the door. And that would be a blessing to me. If I could open the door and nobody would come in because everybody was had jobs and so on and so forth, wow, I'd love to be at that place. Back to you.
But what I saw from this code, that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I started looking for more words. The word Lucifer came up. And the Hebrew word for talking with a familiar spirit came up. I started wondering, maybe these guys didn't program this all by themselves. Maybe they programmed this with a little help. I'm going, oh no. So then I started looking for more words. And a very obscure word that appears only once in the Bible, and only in the King James Bible, I might add, is the word Shemarim, which means false priest. But I always wondered, why did the King James Bible translators never translate that word like everybody else did? And the answer I got from some people that are really researched on it is the Shemarims were a special type of false prophets and false priests. They were the ones that were working when the Southern Kingdom fell in the first place, and were also the ones working prior in the time of Malachi, about 400 years before Christ. And I would venture to say they were probably working at the time of Christ, which is why we saw Matthew 23 happen, because he was talking to, in part, the Shemarims. So what are they? They are the fake priests that are setting the system up. And I saw that, and I couldn't imagine it could get much worse, but it did. Turns out Osiris is involved in this. Now, what is Osiris? If you go back in history, that is the Egyptian name for Cain. And if you remember, Cain was the first rebel. He killed his brother, and because he killed his brother, and I won't go into the gruesome details of that.
Right.
He was sent from the presence of God. He was the first one to build cities. He was also the first one to corrupt agriculture. Because remember, the curse of Cain is that the land will never produce what it should. Because Cain's agricultural practices, and we've seen them happen in this country, have depleted the land so that the land does not produce good food. It produces depleted food. Well, Cain is always, he's a vagabond. He's always looking for a place where he can go that he can get something cheap. And if he can get into a crypto coin, there he is. And a code shows it. And also we see Daniel's word beast in this code. And as it turns out, another word that describes this system is a Hebrew word for mark. And the only time it gets used is when the Lord marked Cain. And it means mark, sign, token, or omen. And it's Strong's number 226. So if you want to look these up, I will have this on the website in a couple hours. But when you look it up, you will be able to look up all the words I use.
What will be the header or the listing, you know, the link, what will that be called to find it?
It'll just if you go on my website, on the right side, I have a listing of all the subjects I cover. And that one will be called cryptocurrencies. I expect now that I'm probably going to do about 4 or 5 codes on it before I'm done. And this one I'm doing right now is by no means done. There's a couple of loose ends that I'm still researching on it that I haven't come.
Well, you know, one thing I kind of looked about, noticed about codes since I've been talking to you, is that you'll do a code over, I'll just say something simple because nothing's simple, but, you know, do a code over something and, you know, but then one code seems to lead to another, to another, to another. It makes you wonder how interconnected they all are.
Oh, they are. And it's one of those things when that day comes that we're in the kingdom and the Lord can explain it to me. I'm just going to be flat overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Another word I found in this code, this one, there's a couple now that I'm going to tell you that really disturb me. One is covenant. And I'm starting to say, what kind of deal are these people making when they get into these cryptocurrencies? What kind of a deal are they making? And I've wondered why I've tried to talk about the soul on 3 different occasions, and every time I get ready to talk about it, suddenly something happens and the person can't have me on. This has happened 3 different times, once with you and another time with another show host we both know.
Right, I know who you're talking about. What do you mean about talking about the soul? You mean you're talking about a living soul? What are you talking about, real quick?
I'm talking about the human soul.
Right.
That every person has.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, what kind of a covenant, and does it cause... And is part of that covenant giving up part of your soul?
Hmm. You mean
that's
for these
an
people?
Answer I don't have yet. But I am definitely going to research this and try to find it out.
Because yeah, that is
very
that's really interesting, because you're talking about people that are actually mining the coins, or, you know, somebody that would buy them. Are they giving up a part of their soul? You know, what is it going? But, you know, here a question I know that is on the minds of a lot of people. And like I say, we're not financial advisors, but this looks pretty risky, but is it going anywhere? I mean, you know, this doesn't look like it's going to go away, is it?
Well, I think someday it will, because it's all based on computer technology, on programming. And in fact, the word that, or the Hebrew word that I found in this code is a 3-letter word that means to come to naught. It's Strong's number 656. I saw that and I said, oh no, this is going to cause Pastor Dan to get even more business instead of less business. There are traps hidden in here, and we've got a trickster coming up with more traps every day to trap people into these things. So I found myself looking at this and grieving and wondering, you know, investing's a nightmare to begin with.
Well, you know, somebody just asked me, he wanted to know if what you're saying is this, could this be associated with the mark of the beast for losing your soul? You know, I mean, because we know that those that accept the mark of the beast, you know, that's it. It's over with. You can't do it. So is that connected to this? Or do you just haven't got to that point yet?
I would say this much. I wouldn't rule it out. But I can't say yes for sure. This is something I've got to research more. And
right.
I am, but I'm looking this. What shall a man give for his soul? Well, what shall a man give for his soul? When you look at Job, what did the devil want that the Lord wouldn't give him? If you read it in Hebrew, it was his soul. When he says save his life, it, the word, Hebrew word there is nefesh, your soul. So, guess what? The devil wanted Job's soul. But what wouldn't Job give him? His soul. Because you can bet that the devil, if he'd give him his soul, he'd give him back his kids, his wealth, and everything else. But his life wouldn't be worth living.
Right. Right. What does it matter if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul?
Yes. And we're we're seeing that. And there's a lot more research to do. But when I saw as much as I saw, I would tell people, be careful about playing with this. This is like playing with fire. You can get burnt, even if you're careful, because fire is not something you can control. I mean, look what's happened out in California. They have had terrible problems. And I can't imagine how your counterparts out there are handling things. Because they have to have just scads and scads of people coming in.
Oh, yeah. It, that area where all this is happening at is just dramatically crazy. If somebody does a little bit of Google research, you can find out there is such an enormous amount of homeless already out there because of actually a part of it's because of the tech industry buying up properties and everything, and but just over and over, people even have incomes and they can't even rent a place because the prices are so inflated. So yeah, it's dramatic, and let alone you have a atmosphere in California where it's a little easier to live because of the weather. So you know, it's disastrous out there.
Yeah, save. We could go on about that, but I just, you know, I want people to understand this is a spiritual issue as much as it is a financial issue. And when you make financial decisions, you got to be careful not to let those financial decisions determine your life.
Yeah.
And this is
absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I'm cutting in anyway because, you know, we've only got to, you need to give them your website again. We've already come to the end of the program. We'll reschedule, as I told Tom folks, we're going to reschedule another program for later this month with Tom about this subject. So, Tom, give them your website and we're going to have to go.
Okay. The website we're talking about tonight is BibleCodes.co. My main website is WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And you can go there, and it'll take you to all the other places where I've done research. And we've done a lot of research.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things over there. Well, and you also are a book publisher. So, folks, go over and check him out. And well, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, Tom, but we'll talk again soon. All right, you be blessed, brother.
Okay, shalom. Bye-bye.
Shalom. Well, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church and radio. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.